Hello, and welcome back to another episode of ABA Mom. I'm Allie, your host, a board-certified behavior analyst and proud mom of five.
And I'm Erica, a registered behavioral tech and a student analyst, and I'm also a mom of two. Today, we're going to be tackling the topic of how to become an RBT.
So if you've thought about working in the field of applied behavior analysis, helping individuals with autism and other developmental challenges, then becoming an RBT might be a perfect first step.
RBTs play a vital role in supporting behavior analysts, working directly with the clients to implement treatment plans. So let's break down the process of how to become certified.
Right. So what is an RBT? So let's do the first thing. So first thing first, what exactly is an RBT?
So a registered behavioral tech is an individual who practices under the supervision of a BCBA or a BCABA, which is an assistant analyst or an analyst. An RBT's job is hands-on, providing sessions with clients and improving their behavior and their skills. They collect data, sometimes work in a variety of settings like the home, school, or in a community setting.
Right. So they're essentially the ones implementing the behavior plans in real life situations. If you enjoy working with people and making positive impact, this is a great career choice.
Yep. So different steps to becoming an RBT. What does it take to get certified? So the first step needed, you need to be at least 18 years old and have a high school diploma or a GED.
And that's basically the eligibility requirements. And once you meet that, then you can go ahead and complete a 40-hour training course.
Yep, and the 40-hour RBT course gives the foundations of behavior analysis and teaches things like reinforcement, data collection, and the ethical considerations. You can take the course online or in person through approved providers.
And some of the courses are free, and you have to do it within 180 days, so you don't have to sit for 40 hours at a time, and you have some time to get the work done, but sometimes providers will do that as part of your onboarding process. So if you find the right provider, you might be able to do it with somebody that has been approved versus trying to find a one on your own. But there are a couple of free RBT training courses.
And make sure while taking your 40-hour course, you go to the BACB website and create an account. You'll have to submit your 40-hour course certification when complete and then take your competency assessment. Make sure while taking your 40-hour course, you go to the BACB.com website, create an account, and you'll need to submit your 40-hour course certification when complete, along with your competency assessment that's signed by the supervisor that did it or by the analyst that did it, along with some personal documentation, high school or college diploma, and an application fee. After all that's done and submitted, usually after about a week, 2 weeks, they'll send you an email with information on how and what locations to take your exam. And then the final step is passing the actual RBT exam. The exam tests your knowledge in areas like measurement, assessment, and implementation of interventions. Once you pass, then congratulations, you're officially an RBT. Allie, do you remember how you felt when you first passed your RBT exam?
Yeah, so I know that the first time I took it, when I took my RBT exam, I was working at a clinic. I had already started my ABA coursework before I just kind of did things a little bit backwards. I started my ABA coursework before I was ever an RBT. I was hired before I was an RBT. And so becoming an RBT was kind of just a part of the onboarding process. I was able to work as a behavior assistant. So I was getting some of my practice in before actually becoming an RBT, getting familiar with clients, kind of deciding if this was a great career choice for me or not. It was great because that hands-on piece really helped me with the practice, and I was able to get that competency assessment in because there were BCBAs that already worked at the clinic. But when I first took the exam, I was super nervous. It was a long time ago. I think it was like 2015 when I first became an RBT. But I remember, you know, as soon as I got that pass, I felt very relieved. I think a lot of people put a lot of pressure in it. There's a lot of things to remember. And one thing I give advice to is, you know, kind of find out what kind of learner you are. So if you're like a visual, visuals help me. That's what I use to kind of practice for my RBT exam. And also, I always feel like for the exam, like the first thing you do is like you go to your supervisor. Like there's a lot of ethical questions. Usually you're going to report to the supervisor. So I think that that's a helpful tip too for those about to take their RBT exam.
So for me, I remember this because, you know me very well. I have a lot of anxiety, so I put a lot of pressure on myself. I'm that person. So I'm just horrible at test taking. So I remember pulling into the parking lot and something washed over me of just like, worst case scenario, I take it again in a few weeks. And that helped me so much. Kind of no fear. And I went, took the exam, and I took my time leaving the building because I was procrastinating opening that letter they printed. And, you know, I called my friend and I remember saying like, oh, I failed it and it's fine. It's going to be fine. I opened the letter and I passed. I had to look at it again. And then I sent him a photo because I was like, there's no way that this says that I passed. But yeah, and I cried, of course, because I knew this was going to open a lot of doors for me and the kids, and you know, that I was actually going to be making a difference in somebody's life. So that was awesome to know that all these doors were now opening for me.
No, I love that. That's good. And you know, I felt that way too. I'm like, I don't know if I got those questions right when I first took my RBT exam. I will say I also felt that way about the BCBA exam too. It's like, did I pass? You know, and I think too, sometimes we second guess ourselves. And then even if you don't pass the first time, you still get opportunities to take it. And you know, kind of just my advice is like, study in the areas and the task list that just didn't feel so familiar, the ones that you really struggle with, is just kind of go back and study those areas, because the ones that you got right, like, you already know it. So, and then also like working with a client, like, that's going to help you too. The applied part, I do think that that definitely makes a big difference. So you went ahead, you took your RBT exam, you have your certification. So now what?
So, great question. Most RBTs will find work in ABA therapy clinics and schools and even a private practice setting. ABA is rapidly expanding field, so there's so many opportunities we can use our certification in.
And because the demand of the RBTs is so high, finding a job is usually pretty manageable, so that's really a nice perk too. Plus, if you apply companies as you are thinking of becoming an RBT, many of the companies like we discussed before can cover some of the cost of the certification. So if you agree to work for them afterwards or walk through the RBT certification, they'll walk you through this RBT certification process.
Great point. And you're thinking about becoming an RBT at a really good time. So I just found this out not too long ago. We used to have a renewal process that we would have to certify every year by taking another competency assessment. So starting in 2026, the board made an announcement that RBTs, just in time, you know, when hopefully I'll be becoming a BCABA. So they made an announcement, all RBTs will be renewing their certification every 2 years, and they just need to keep up with CEUs. From my research and talking to coworkers and my supervisors, RBTs will need to complete about 12 hours of continuing education during a 2-year cycle. So if they choose to do maybe 6 1 year and 6 the next, that's perfectly fine. The initial application fee for an RBT was 50, and that's going up to 65. And then the renewal fees after you've been certified will go from 35 to 50, but every 2 years.
Inflation.
Yeah.
So becoming an RBT is really a fantastic way to enter the field of behavior analysis. Also, just a side note, if you want to get into the field, you don't necessarily have to be an RBT. Like, you could work, like, they offer ABA schools, like, you could start kind of as a para, and a lot of companies will kind of let you get a feel for what things are like during the onboarding process to kind of feel like it's a good fit before they go ahead and reimburse you for your RBT exam. So becoming an RBT, though, it's a fantastic way to get started. You'll gain valuable experience working directly with clients and preparing the advanced roles in the future.
Yep, and if you're interested and want more info, you can go to the board analyst certification. I did it again, Allie! Oh my god, I'm really trying to be like mindful that people don't know what it is. Whew! If you're interested and want more information, be sure to check out the Behavior Analyst Certification Board, the BACB website. We'll link that below for the official details.
If you enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe and leave us a review. And don't hesitate to reach out with any thoughts or questions.
Thanks, everybody. Keep striving for excellence in your ABA practice.